Hey, this is Cooper Smith. I'm one of the student worship pastors at Eastview, and I'm honored to welcome you to our Eastview Students High School podcast. We hope this is encouraging, inspiring, and helpful for you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy the message. I want to do an exercise with you all this morning as we get rolling into what this passage and what this sermon is going to be about. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to explain a few scenarios involving you and your parents. Okay? And I'm gonna go and I'm gonna give a situation and I want you to think, how would my parent respond if I reacted or I did something like this? Now, for some of you, if maybe a parent isn't a good example, maybe you want to use like a guardian or a grandparent, whoever's watching over you, okay? Whoever's in charge of maybe punishments, okay? That's who I want you to think about. All right, so I'm gonna give us some scenarios. So what I want you to do is I want you to find someone around you right now that you're going to be able to explain what's going to happen, okay? And also, guys, look around the room. If there's someone sitting by themselves too, like, look and pair up with someone, okay? Because I want everyone to be involved here and to go through these scenarios, okay? Here we go. Scenario one, you've just gotten home from a long day of school, okay? You had three tests that day, all right? Lunch was not chicken nuggets. Okay, it was some form of meatloaf, all right? So just things are going wrong, all right? You spilled ketchup on your shirt at lunch, and you had a giant stain the rest of the day, all right? And to top it all off, you just want to go home, your bus is 20 minutes late, okay? So this is the kind of day, here's the scenario, this is the day you're having, all right? You get home, you plop down on the couch, and you just want to relax. You just want to relax for a minute. And your parent or your guardian or your mom, they come up to you while you're chilling on the couch and they ask you, you need to go take the dog for a walk. Okay? You respond, hey, I've had a really tough day. I'm exhausted. I don't think I can do it. All right? What would your parent, your guardian's response be if that's the response you gave to them? Okay? Turn to the person next to you. Go. What's the response from your parent? Okay, all right, bring it back in. Bring it back in with me now. All right, here's scenario two. Scenario two. You've just gotten home from a long day of school. You had three tests that day. Lunch was not chicken nuggets, it was some form of meatloaf. You spilled ketchup on your shirt at lunch, and you had to wear it the rest of the day. And to top it all off, your bus was 20 minutes late. You get home, you plop down on the couch, you just want to relax, it's been a long day. Your parent, your guardian, someone comes up to you and says, hey, I need you to take the dog for a walk. But this time your response is, no, make someone else do it. No. All right, what's your parents' response to that? Go. All right, bring it in, bring it in. Now, how many of you guys, it was a very different response when you said, oh, I'm tired, it's been a long day, compared to, no, I just don't want to do it. Was it a different response? Yes, okay, I would assume so, because here's the thing. How many of you guys, yeah, like, that second response is like, I would never say no, right? Like, here's the thing. There's a difference between I can't and I won't, okay? I feel like for the most part, if you were to explain to a parent or guardian that I can't, I can't do this. It's been a long day. I'm exhausted. They would probably be a little more patient. They would have patient responses. They may still make you do it. They may still make you take the dog for a walk, but maybe it's a little more patient. But when it changes to a blatant no, I'm not going to do it, then perhaps we won't receive that kind of patience, right? Now, this is what happened with Moses. Leading up to this point that we've been going through, leading up to all of these situations, all these weeks that we've been talking about, Moses has been saying, I can't, I can't, I can't. He's been saying, I can't go, I'm just a shepherd. I can't go, I don't even know what to say. I can't go to Pharaoh, they won't believe me. I can't go, I don't speak well. Every time the Lord has patiently responded, yes, you can, Moses. Yes, you can, because I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. But this week, we look at Moses' final interaction with God. One more interaction, one more statement that he shares with God. But this time, he doesn't give an excuse. He simply begs God, just send someone else. Send someone else. So Exodus chapter 4, starting in verse 13, is where we're going to be this morning, that we get to this response from Moses. He's got all the cards out on the table now, Moses. He's gonna throw out this. He's gonna say, God, send someone else. I don't want to do this. Exodus chapter 4, starting in verse 13. But Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send anyone else. Then the Lord became angry with Moses. All right, he said, what about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he speaks well. And look, he is on his way to meet you now. He will be delighted to see you. Talk to him and put the words in his mouth. I will be with both of you as you speak, and I will instruct you both in what to do. Aaron will be your spokesperson to the people. He will be your mouthpiece, and you will stand in the place of God for him, telling him what to say. And take your shepherd's staff with you and use it to perform the miraculous signs I have shown you. Let me pray. God, this morning as we look at this final encounter with Moses and God, we see maybe a response that we often say in our own lives to God. We say, God, I don't want to do this. Make someone else do this. I don't want this. Send someone else, God. And whatever that might be this morning, whatever stories, whatever situations walk into this room today, I pray that these students would know that they're not alone. That God, you never meant for this life to be done alone, but meant to be done with community. But most importantly, God, that you have given us the most incredible gift of Jesus, who promises to be with us at all times. God, I pray the students would walk away knowing that and being confident in that this morning. And it's in his name I pray. Amen. So last week we talked about this assumption that I think it's safe to assume Moses doesn't want to do this, right? Now, specifically in this passage, now we really understand he does not want to do this because it's no longer excuses for Moses. He's no longer saying, I can't, I can't, I can't. Actually, it seems like he's run out of excuses to this point. He's now just begging God, no, I don't want to do this. Send someone else. Not me. And God, understandably, gets upset. All right? I think it's understandable why God would get upset here. Think about this. Up until this point, he's been drilled by Moses with all of these excuses and questions. Moses constantly going, but God, but God, but God. And every time Moses does this, God gives reassurance saying, Moses, you can do this. I'm with you. Moses, you can do this. I'm with you. Moses, you can do this. I'm with you. And after all the reassurance, after all the promises that God says, hey, Moses, I'm going to be with you. Quit worrying about that. He still tells God, no. No, I don't want to do this. After all of the reassurance, after all of the promises that God has said, Moses, I'm going to be with you. You can do this. He still says, no. My question is, do we do this sometimes? Do we do this? Do we ever tell God no? After he gives us all these promises, after we come here and we learn that we believe in a God that says he will be with us and he promises that we can do these things, do you think we ever turn around and tell God, no, I don't want to do this. I know you promised you'll be with me, but I don't want to do it. And it may not be a blatant no to God's face like Moses did when Moses basically tells God no, but I believe in little ways we tell God no all the time. When we sin, it's a no towards God's command for obedience. We're telling him, no, I don't want to follow the way that you say. My way's better. When we choose to play a video game or scroll TikTok over reading my Bible, we're giving a subtle, no, God, no, I want to do this instead. When we choose not to follow Jesus every day, we're subtly saying no to God every day. No, God, I'm going to do my own thing. No, no time. Right? These subtle no's that happen. Listen, the excuses, the doubt about God's faithfulness, I think God reveals in this passage, though, that even when like those things happen, even when we give excuses, even when we doubt God sometimes, he still has patience with that. But when we blatantly say, no, God, I don't want to follow you, I don't want to obey you, it's a slap in the face to God. Because this whole time, he's promising these things, and we're basically saying to him when we say no, you know what, God, your promises, not enough for me. Not enough. I'm not going to surrender the parts of my life that I want to have control over. And God gets angry with Moses because Moses doesn't surrender everything he is to God. He doesn't surrender the comfort or the security or his plan over to God. Right? Why? We think about this. Why would Moses say no here? Why would he say send someone else? Maybe it's because, you know what? I'm comfortable here in Midian. I don't want to stretch myself here. I'm not going to do it. Or it's security. I don't want to go and potentially get hurt or humiliated. No, I'm not doing this. Or it's Moses saying, you know what? I kind of like, you know, watching over sheep. It's a passion of mine. I don't want to go and do this. Whatever that may be. I mean, think, here's the thing. God wants all of us to know that when you surrender and trust in God's plan, it's going to turn out way better than what you thought it could be. It's going to turn out way better than what you might think your life is going to turn out to be. Because guess what? If we believe God is perfect, if his plan is perfect, then his plan for your life is perfect. But I think sometimes we just have to control this ourselves. We think, my plan is in my control. I'm going to make this happen instead of fully surrendering and saying, you know what, God? I don't really want to go before Pharaoh. I don't really know what's going to happen here, but I trust your plan is perfect. And so maybe this morning, are there things in our lives that we're coming in here and we're still saying no to God about? Maybe today it's time to finally say, you know what, I've said no to God about this for a long time. It's time to say yes. Maybe you've come in here today and you've been struggling with this sin and you haven't really said, you've been basically saying no to God this whole time, saying, I just want to keep sinning and keep doing this thing. But maybe today it's finally like, you know what, I'm going to say yes to God for once. And I'm going to actively try and get rid of the sin. And I'm going to ask Jesus to cover this. Maybe you come in here today and the Holy Spirit has been nagging at your mind. Hey, talk to that friend. Talk to that friend. Talk to them about Jesus. Share your story. Ask them about who they are. And you've been having this, but you've been constantly, subtly saying, no, God, quit. No, I don't want to. No, no, no. But maybe today it's time to finally say, you know what, God, I trust your plan. Okay, yes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to talk to that friend. Maybe that's today, that's the decision. Maybe it's just you've been coming here for a long time and we talk about every day, but you really haven't followed Jesus every day. You haven't made that a thing in your life. And maybe today, instead of saying no to that, you're going to say yes today. You know what? Yes, I'm going to start trying to follow Jesus every day. There's something interesting I want us to see here too with God's response here. Now, even when Moses says no, even when Moses tells God, I don't want to do this, send someone else, even when God gets angry at Moses, he still does not give up on him. God does not go, he does not say, you know what, Moses, now you've made me angry, I'm done. He still does not give up on Moses. He still does not stop. He responds by sending someone else with him. Now notice it's not someone else completely. God doesn't go before Moses and say, you know what, Moses, all right, I'm done with you. I'll just send someone else. I'm going to send Aaron. He'll just go do it. No, he's saying, Moses, no, you're still going to do this. But let me just send someone else with you. And God sends his brother. Now, Aaron, during this moment, he was back in Egypt. All right, he had no idea what was going on in Moses' life. Yet when Moses goes before God and he says, send someone else, God's all of a sudden saying, you know what, Aaron, he's on his way. He's on his way. If you guys were to flip the page over, if you still have your Bibles open, and go down to verse 27, you can see the interaction that God is having, maybe simultaneously as he's talking to Moses at the burning bush. God's also talking to Aaron, and he says to Aaron, hey, go out in the wilderness and meet Moses. And so there's this cool thing happening that God is speaking to both of these two, saying, hey, meet up with each other, and you're going to go, and you're going to do this together. Aaron would be the spokesperson. He would go before Pharaoh, and he would talk to Pharaoh, but Moses would be the guy that talks to God, right? And so we see these guys here, but the thing is, Moses did not realize that he had stumbled upon God's plan before he even knew it. Moses didn't realize this, but when he was going before God, God knew exactly how Moses would say, send someone else. God knew exactly, he knew Moses was going to ask that question, can you send someone else? And God was already doing it. Here's what I'm seeing with this. With God, it's never a solo effort. If you are in here today and you are following Jesus by yourself, that's not how it's meant to be. Following Jesus, this life of following after God, is meant to be with people. With God, it's never a solo effort. God never intended for life to be done alone. Think about people in the Bible. For Adam, he gave him Eve. For Paul, he gave him Barnabas. For Esther, she had Mordecai. For David, he had Jonathan. You can go to any story in the Bible, and usually there are always people doing life with someone else. It's never a solo effort. I could go on and on with all these examples, but what we should see here is that the Christian life is meant to be done with people. And notice what happens when God responds to this final question. When Moses says, send someone else, and God says, hey, I'll send you Aaron. Notice what happens in this story. You guys might not have picked up on it, but you can. I'll kind of point it out to you. What happens? Moses is done asking questions. This is the last one, which I was like wondering this week, what? What about this answer did Moses decide, you know what? I'm good. I'm done asking. I think I've got my answer. I see two possibilities for why he would do this, and I want us to kind of key in on these because I think it's important to our lives too as we're talking about these things. Number one, Moses realized he's not getting out of this. God's plan is going to happen. Moses can give God all the excuses he wants. But guess what? God's plan is still going to happen. The truth is, no matter what we do, no matter how many times we might say no, God's plan for your life is still going to happen. It's still going to happen. Isaiah 14, if you were to go to Isaiah, it literally says, nothing can stop God's plan for your life. Nothing. Nothing can stop it. No sin, no choice, nothing can stop God's plan for your life. Someone needs to hear that this morning. I believe someone needs to hear that in this room this morning because someone has been in here and they've been saying no to God for a very long time. Saying, no, I don't believe in this. I don't want to believe in this. And now maybe you're in the spot where I'm too far in to being against this Christianity stuff, so I can't back down now. Guys, for those of you in here that may be thinking that, God's plan cannot be stopped for your life. You may not know that, but that's what his word says. Someone in here maybe has been thinking, my sin has me too far gone from God. I've been struggling with this for too long. I've been saying yes to this sin for too long. Too far gone from getting my life together. God's plan for your life cannot be stopped. It cannot be stopped no matter what you've done. Someone in here might be thinking, I've questioned too much about my faith. I have too many doubts. My faith is just not where it should be. God's plan for your life cannot be stopped. It can't be stopped. Moses may have realized in this moment, oh, so my doubts, my fears, my past sins, they're not going to stop this. And Moses may have realized in this moment, okay, I think it's time I hop on board with God's plan because clearly it's not stopping. That's number one. Number two, the other possibility for why Moses may have been done asking God questions after this was because he realized, oh, I'm not doing this alone. Oh, I'm not going by myself. Sure, God said he would be with him, but Moses probably wanted like a tangible person with him. He probably was like, God, I understand you promise you're with me, but like I need like a human, because I still kind of feel by myself. And maybe that's the case for you guys. Like we're teaching all of these things with on purpose, and we're like, oh, okay, I get it. God promises he's with me, but sometimes still feels alone because God isn't like physically there. Right? I need someone, right? And that's why we see this. He realized, Moses, I have Aaron. And so Moses may have perhaps in this moment went, like took a deep breath and went, oh, okay, whew, I can do this. If I have Aaron with me, okay, I'm not by myself. I can do this. I cannot stress enough how important the Jesus following life is with people, guys. That is why we push small groups so hard in our high school ministry. That is why we push that you have good Christian friends in your life, that you have solid friend groups, because high school is hard. It is very hard. And you need people in your life that you can go to, that can support you, that you can talk to, that you can trust. And here's this thing that happens with our small groups. You see this all the time, that maybe you're struggling with something big, something hard, something like bad maybe. And you go to your small group and you're like, listen, I'm struggling with this. And this cool thing happens is that someone else in that group pipes up and says, you're struggling with that? I'm struggling with that. And there's this moment that happens. You're like this realization, I think, that happens in our small groups. You're like, oh, I'm not alone in this. Oh, someone else is going through this too. Someone else is with me. You can even see that with small group leaders too. That you're going through something hard and you tell them about this and your leader is like, I'll be there for you. I'm here for you. And it's like, oh, I do have someone I can talk to. I can go to in my life. Listen, if you're in here today and you're not plugged into a small group, can I just encourage you that you can still sign up for one? All right? You can still do that. If you just go to our Instagram page, you go to our link tree, you can sign up for a small group if you're not in one. Let me just push that hard. And if you are in one, and maybe you're in here today and you haven't been in a while, go back to small group. Because life of following Jesus cannot be done alone. It was never meant to. It was meant to be done with people. Now, notice something about Moses and Aaron and the kind of people that they are and why they're around each other. If you look at this, they both had the same purpose here. Both Moses and Aaron had the same purpose. It was to go before Pharaoh and let the people go. But they each had different gifts. Moses had the gift of, hey, I can talk to God. I've actually talked to him before. Aaron was like, well, I can actually talk to people, Moses. So let's team up here. You talk to God, then you talk to me, and I'll talk to people. Right? And there's this cool thing that happens with Moses and Aaron. They have the same purpose, but they have different gifts that help support each other. And here's the thing that I want you to think about in the people you're around, in the friends that you're around. Who are you around? Because who you are around is so important. In high school, your friend group is often your greatest influence. Okay? It's just true. The people you're around the most, your friends, are often your greatest influence. It matters who you choose to be around. It matters. And here's the thing for it. Who you walk through life with can either encourage or hinder the purpose that God has for you. Who you walk through life with can either encourage or hinder the purpose God has for you. Right? Now, here's the thing that happens with our friend groups in high school, and what I just want to make a brief note about, because sometimes I think we sway too far to one side. Maybe you're hearing this, it's like, oh, well, if the people I'm around encourage my purpose, encourage my walk with Jesus, then I should only be around Christian people, right? I should only be around my Christian friends. And that's not what I'm saying, because sometimes when we're around our non-Christian friends, those that don't believe in Jesus, we realize our purpose in sharing the gospel. Right? So it doesn't necessarily hinder that. So here's the thing that happens when I think sometimes high school students, we sway from one side to the other. Some sway too far to the non-Christian friend side. that we are always around those that don't live a Christian lifestyle. And when that happens is that we're influenced by the world, and we're always around that. And the thing is, so much that it would affect my life with Jesus and my walk with him, some of us need to assess, am I not around great influences all the time? Because if I want to follow Jesus and I want to accomplish the purpose, it matters who I'm around. And so sometimes we sway too far to the side. It's like, no, maybe I need some solid Christian friends that are doing this with me. But then I think sometimes we sway too far to the other side, some of us too far to the Christian friend side, where we stick in this bubble and we're only around my Christian friends and we're never around those that don't believe in Jesus, and we stick in this. And what I think with that is, what happens, that would be like Moses. All of a sudden Aaron comes up to him and he's like, let's do this, Moses. And Moses is like, oh, Aaron's here. Well, let's just chill in Midian then, because I got my friend. That's what that would be like if we just stay in this bubble and we don't branch out and have friends that don't know Jesus, right? That, in a way, can hinder the purpose that God has for my life. And so there has to be this balance, guys. You have to think about this, of who you are around will either encourage or hinder the purposes that God has for you. If I can, let me say something so bold for us this morning, but I think some of us need to hear this. If your friends or the people you hang out with are only those that don't follow Jesus, that's a problem. But let me put it on the other side. If your friends or the people you hang out with are only those that follow Jesus, I think that's also a problem. Okay? It matters who you're around. But the question you have to ask as we talk about this, that send someone else, that we do life together, you have to think, who am I being influenced by and who am I influencing? Those are the questions you have to ask. Am I being challenged to be bold in my faith, or am I being comfortable in my faith? Do I have people in my life that I trust that I can go to for anything, or am I doing this alone? Guys, God created people and community that we could do life together. So that's why I think when Moses says, send someone else, and God says, well, here comes Aaron, Moses is like, okay, I'm good. And that's the encouragement for you guys today. As you guys walk through high school and you think about who you're around, I just want you to ask, who are the people I'm around? And do I have those that I can go to do life with? Now, with that, I want to make one more note of this passage that I don't want to miss, probably the most important thing that this passage points to. If you look at verse 13, right, Moses is pleading, Lord, please, please send someone else. And if I'm being honest, like, if we were to look at our own lives, I think a lot of us would say, God, please send someone else, because the way that we live is deserving of death and destruction. The way that we live, when we choose to sin, when we choose to go against God, guys, we were deserving to be separated from God. And I think if we were to realize and understand the punishment that we deserve as sinful human beings, we would look and we'd say, God, please send someone else. I don't want to go and die and be separated from you. God, please send someone else. Guys, if you don't look at this passage and see that Jesus is our someone else, I think you've missed the whole thing. That Jesus was our someone else, that looked at our punishment, that looked at our disobedience and said, I'll be the someone else that's going to go to the cross. Because honestly, we were deserving of that cross. And Jesus was the someone else that went to the cross and died for my sin so that I could live and do life with friends and be promised eternity in heaven, God's plan being accomplished. And so this morning, let's process together who are the people that I'm doing life with, but also let's praise God for the fact that he sent someone else for us. He is a God that sends Jesus to us.
Well, everyone, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the message, we'd love it if you would join us on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for our Eastview Students High School service. We also want to invite you to subscribe to the podcast and share it to your social media accounts. To stay up to date, check us out on Instagram at EastviewHSM and check out our Eastview Students YouTube channel. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.